It is 8:44. Good morning. I'm Dave Graham, and across from me this morning is Lori Schurbeck. Good morning. Welcome back.
Thank you. Good morning, Dave.
Hi. This now you were in about about a month ago.
Yep.
Something like that.
End of September.
How would you boil down what it was that we talked about last month, September?
Oh wow, I would call it the conversational nature of reality.
Okay. And this one you want to call the inner horizon.
Yeah.
All right.
Today's the inner horizon is the theme.
Okay. We just let that sort of percolate through people's minds. We don't need to talk anymore about...
Not this moment. No. I'd like to begin with a poem that I think will bring us there.
Okay.
And, given that we will be going into daylight savings soon and entering the dark, I chose another beautiful poem by David White.
Mm-hmm.
And it's called Sweet Darkness.
Okay, everybody get comfy. Here we go. Lori, on your time.
When your eyes are tired, the world is tired also. When your vision has gone, no part of the world can find you. Time to go into the dark, where the night has eyes to recognize its own. There you can be sure you are not beyond love. The dark will be your womb tonight. The night will give you a horizon further than you can see. You must learn one thing. The world was made to be free in. Give up all the other worlds except the one to which you belong. Sometimes it takes darkness and the sweet confinement of your aloneness. Learn anything or anyone that does not bring you alive is too small for you. Your eyes just lit up.
Well, I do appreciate being aware of what keeps you limited in this life, keeps you from doing more, being more.
Yeah, important awareness to have. However,
absolutely.
How else would you know to push past yourself?
Mm-hmm.
You didn't rub up against yourself.
Mm-hmm. And the fact that night can bring a certain freedom, expansiveness.
Yeah, often there's fear.
Yeah.
About going inward or going into the night, often very common for children.
Mm-hmm.
And for us big people, there are different kinds of fears that keep us at bay and sort of hijack ourselves from feeling like we can dive into the darkness and face ourselves, face all of ourselves. I guess Jung called it the shadow.
Oh, yes.
And David calls it the horizon, the inner horizon.
Mm.
And it is expansive and far-reaching.
Well, it is in that it is there, but all, what depends on it, though, is our awareness of that.
Yeah, our will.
Yes, sure, okay.
Right. So there are two things that can't be analyzed in psychotherapy, and that's the will and the imagination.
I've never heard that.
Pretty cool, eh?
Yeah. Oh, now I've got to sit quietly and think about that for a
minute.
I just
very
can't
contemplative.
Do it right this moment.
Yeah, these are phenomena within our nature that are more connected to our soul and those other dimensions. So the ego doesn't form any defenses around these two elements of who we really are.
Hmm.
And so they're really critical for when a person is in that path of self-inquiry, reflection, contemplation. We must follow ourselves in.
Okay.
What part of the poem did you like, Dave?
I think I'd mentioned a couple aspects. Those were the key ones. The freedom from things that limit us, and the going into oneself or into the dark to see more.
Yeah. And at the end of the poem, he suggests, anything that doesn't bring you alive is too small for you. And, this is the depth of ourselves that we encounter when we have an inner horizon. And so it's the way to know what to say yes to and no to in the outer world. For you, it's your photography. I look at your images, and there is so much of you in there in your depth of what you can capture. Am I right?
Thank you.
That this is an aliveness that comes to you.
Yeah, absolutely. It's an important part of what I do and who I am.
Yes.
Because it isn't the act of photography, it's everything else around it.
Well, it's seeing the world through your eyes.
That's it.
Yes.
And it's really seeing. It's really looking.
Profoundly looking.
Yes.
And being present to that looking.
Ultimately, yes.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah, wonderful. So this is sort of the crux of it, and I think the whole poem invites and encourages this movement toward the inner horizon, no matter where you are on that scale.
Hmm. But there, I'm trying to phrase a question around people who just haven't reached that awareness, though. But mm-hmm. Is it a lead a horse to water kind of a question?
I think it starts with longing.
Okay.
Often people long, and the longing is the expansiveness inside ourselves wanting to move. And so it doesn't take long to go from the surface, from the artifice, down into the depth for anyone, really. And some people go slower, some go quicker.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we live in a time when that's all dumbed down to some degree. So to have the kind of relationship and conversation that allows for the breath and the scope to just go into in that movement in that way is really critical for us. We're bombarded with so much on the external world.
Yeah.
And overwhelmed often. So we're sort of spinning around like tops, you know?
And we have these wonderful gadgets designed to become addictive.
Yeah.
That we reach for in an idle moment when we could instead be spending some quiet time thinking.
And you know, addictions usually start out with boredom.
Mm.
And so there's a level, I think superficiality sometimes is equal to boredom. And mm-hmm. we can get stuck there. And
yeah.
that's, again, lack of movement.
Now, where does longing come from? Isn't that a result of some level of dissatisfaction? Am I reading it wrong?
Well, it really depends. I think it comes from our early life experiences.
Mm.
And it just comes from our biological nature to expand. All life is designed to expand. And we are life. We are biological.
Mm-hmm.
And so our longings are often rooted very, very deep down in our earliest life of our impulses towards the pulsation of life, towards whatever it is that excites us, that brings us alive, that encourages us to have the courage to move in that direction. You know, here today doing this process with you, I have contemplated it for almost 10 years of my life. Mm. And now I'm doing it. So it's you know, diving boldly into the thick of your life, just doing it, regardless of how, you know, the fears or the inner voice that says, you know, am I smart enough? Am I going to be articulate enough? All of that business, that's all set aside when you just say yes to the impulse.
Mm. Now, that brings me back actually a little bit to what you were saying there, to what we talked about the last time.
Uh-huh.
And we were sort of presenting why you were here and what you wanted to talk about, and that you made a immediate connection between these traumas that we suffer or endure as children.
Right.
And that impact then on our adult lives.
Correct. Yes, there is a direct correlation to your early life experiences and what you've had to adapt to survive and how you're functioning as an adult.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's with that still in mind, here we are today talking about this inner horizon. And a couple of things are coming to mind, too, out of this conversation today in terms of fear. Now, these are limiting factors, fear, mm-hmm. and that little voice, and whatever else keeps us from taking that next step,
mm-hmm. yeah,
going deeper.
Yeah. Well, you know, feelings are primary, Dave. And so our primary feelings are fear or anxiety. Sadness, joy, love. And so if we've had life experiences that have not sort of mirrored or given us permission to express our full feeling body, that's what becomes the disturbance down the road. That's what becomes the conflict. And so it's difficult later to express the full self with only a half-lived life if the emotional body has been repressed or has been completely buried. And so a lot of the work that I do is the freeing of the primary feelings to resolve the complex, to allow contact with the core self. And then this core self, we know that which brings us most alive.
Yeah.
Make sense?
Yep. Yeah, I think so. Oh, I had a place to go and it just disappeared. Okay. So what at its core is your message for today then? Or have you already shared it?
I feel like the whole conversation is a pointer in a direction of go within, even though it's scary and there's stigmas and there's a lot of resistance to this because we don't have a relationship to ourselves, for some of us, in this manner. I'm just speaking to those who perhaps haven't. Mm-hmm. Dived into that process. I've spent 25, almost 30 years in the process, so I'm pretty biased. And it's been a very deeply meaningful and rewarding way to grow up and to embrace my life. And yeah, I think the message really is no guts, no glory. Mm. You know.
And perhaps if you are feeling some kind of longing to go into that.
Most people are. They don't even know what that longing is. They just know that there's got to be something more, or why am I still stuck here, or they're confused. Mm-hmm. And that you know, that's a subject for maybe our next conversation about the secondary layer of the self. But for now, I'll leave it at that. I think, and how are we doing for time?
Actually, we're getting close. Yeah. We've gone way over.
Oh. That's the nature of this, isn't it? Well, I'd like to just reiterate, if anyone would like to be in touch with me and discuss this or would like to explore the Reishian therapeutic bioenergetic process, my website is www.reichian-therapy.com.
Lori Sherbeck, we'll see you again. I have lots to think about right
Wonderful.
Now.
Wonderful. Thanks, Dave.